Well, hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the name of King Jesus. Troy Brewer here coming at you strong right here from the podcast studios at Open Door Church. Guys, today is Wednesday. It's March the 26th, and this also happens to be the 26th episode of The Pulse in this brand new year. So we got the double 2026 going on. So I'll probably talk to you a little bit about the number 2026, but let me tell you about today's broadcast. Today, guys, we're going to be talking about what do you do when you see something blurry? What do you do when you see something you have no grid for? What do you do? And is there such things as spiritual beings that have physicality about them? And is that real? And how does that work? And we're specifically going to get off into the subject of giants because of a recent controversial video that we put up that has blown people's mind and given me a big stack of hate mail, and I can't wait to share this with you. So you know what, guys? You're going to like this. This is an excellent episode of a really fun topic, and here's what I'd like to ask you to do. I'd like you to join me. Simply share this, like this, whatever social media platform that you're on. If you also write your name in there and tell us where it is that you're from, and then I would also like to welcome a brand new platform, all my friends, on Rumble. Whoa. Let's get ready to Rumble. Yeah. Boom. So joining me from directly across the table.
Yes, sir.
Is Miss Shay Wilbur. How are you, Shay?
I'm good. I'm very excited to talk about today. First of all, I love when you ruffle feathers.
Yeah.
And it's been fun to kind of see the reaction that we've had to that reel,
yep,
which we'll show in a little bit. But I'm excited to talk about the blurry things because yeah, you guys are the best people to dive into all things blurry. I can't think of better two people with Pastor Troy and Bishop Ben over there. So I'm excited.
Well, we are going to get off into giants, the Nephilim. We're going to talk about the supernatural. And one of the first things I want to tell you before we get off into is this. I'm shocked at how many Christians do not have a grid for that.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm like, wow, what a nice walk you have. You know, what? I like, wow, like, dude, really? Like, really?
And it's also kind of scary because if you don't have a grid for it, then, I mean, it's spiritual warfare is a very real thing. So if you're just kind of walking around as if there's nothing going on in the spirit realm, I mean, I feel sorry for you because I feel like you're missing out on, number one, a big thing that the Lord has for you. There's a good side to that end of, and a not so good side. And you're missing out on it. You're missing out on the blessing.
There is. But I want to tell you, anybody that says that they've never interacted with the supernatural, they've never seen demons, they've never seen things, they don't know about witchcraft, they don't know about curses, they don't know about things in the sky or things possessing people, those are people who have never fed people. Those are people who have never rescued kids. Those are people who have never been out on the streets doing the work of the kingdom. Those are people who have not been to places all over the world. And that ain't me. So I'm not experiencing any of this because I am a pro at anything. I'm just experiencing this because I'm saying yes, and I'm always in over my head in atmospheres and in places where I'm like, whoa, I have no grid for this. And I kind of had to rewrite and relook at my entire worldview over and over and over again. Yep. But it's never challenged my faith, ever.
Yeah.
It's never one time. I know that Jesus is resurrected from the dead. I know that God Almighty has saved me, all those things. But I promise you, there's been stuff where I went, wow, I had no idea that was a thing. And people who have never experienced that, I don't know, man. Yeah. People that have the same exact understanding of their theology now that they had when they were in camp, when they were a kid, I worry about those people.
Yeah.
I actually wonder at them. Because you should have lots and lots and lots of things that test you, that test your perception of reality, and still fall back on Jesus. And I've had that happen many times, and we're going to explore that today.
I love it. I can't wait.
Rebecca, today is the 26th of March, and it's also the 26th episode. And I want you to listen to this. The number 26 is a number that's associated with the word beloved. Mm. I'm going to be reading from a book, Numbers That Preach and Numbers That Prophesy. It says, okay, in some kind of a wonderful way, the number 26 has to do with the messianic bloodlines of King David.
Wow.
right? I see this pattern in the book of Luke. It's in the number of generations from David to Christ. So there's 26 generations from King David until King Jesus. And I might as well point out that also the number of generations from between Moses and Adam is also 26. Wow. So 26 is where the promises come, where the promise, the prophetic promise comes to pass and the supernatural invades the planet Earth.
Wow.
Yeah, today is actually that episode.
You said Luke what?
Oh, well, that's at the very beginning of Luke when it gives the generations of Jesus. In the book of Matthew, the generations of Jesus is there's 14 generations from, let's see, it starts off with Abraham to David, 14 generations from David into the carrying away of Babylon, and 14 generations from the carrying away of Babylon to King Jesus. But in the book of Luke, it gives the bloodline all the way from Adam all the way to King Jesus, and that number of generations is 77.
Wow. That is.
Yeah, he's the 77th.
That's
right.
Crazy.
That is crazy. That cool. Is listen crazy. This number also in the book of Song of Solomon, written by King David's son, the word beloved is found exactly 26 times.
No way.
Yeah. So beloved means David, right? David means beloved. The name David actually means beloved. And though the name David is very common in the world today, it's extraordinarily unique in the Bible. There's only one David in all the in all the biblical texts. Wow. And only David and Jesus were called beloved in scripture. Only David and only Jesus. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Only King David and only King Jesus.
Wow.
How about them apples?
Amazing.
I never realized that.
It's just crazy how the Lord just is speaking to us differently, but we're always in the same spirit. And we talked about Psalms 23 on Sunday, and then you're talking about King David. So I wonder what the Lord has up to this week. Something. So I'm just so excited.
Yeah.
We have so many as Pastor Troy I love it when Pastor Troy talks numbers because I have a lot to learn. And I'm just with my mouth open.
Well, I'm like,
Lord Jesus, look at that revelation.
Yeah.
But we are so excited. Just everyone that is joining us, we just want to remind you, like Pastor Troy said, to comment and share. We have Sarah Spencer and our ODX family. We have Renee from Ohio. And we have Mandy Pena. We have Renee Youngblood. We have Monica Bradley, Tina Garcia, Vicky Griffin. And who else do we have been?
Well, first off, hi.
Hi, I'm sorry. I just started over. We're straight to work.
We have Georgette from St. Louis. We have Sarah Smithson from Burleson. William from Alabama. We have Melissa from Lakewood, Colorado. We have Mary from Semi Valley, California.
Amen.
Debbie from Alabama. Sharon from Arizona.
Friends.
We have Ivy from Garland, Texas. We have Monica from Flagstaff, Arizona. We have Renee from Ohio. Mm-hmm. We have Tina from Kansas City. We have Mona, from Ottawa.
Ottawa, Canada. Ottawa,
Canada. Yeah, Canada.
Yeah.
Right on. It's good to see you, Mona.
Yeah. We have Pablo from Argentina. We have Vicky from North Carolina. We have Louise from Florida. We have Karen from Louisiana. Timothy from Alabama. Emily from Canada also. We have Jobish, who's brand new to the YouTube.
Hey, welcome.
Good to have you guys here.
Welcome, guys.
And they're in Forney, Texas.
All right.
Okay.
So, hey, I want to throw this out there. All you guys that are just now plugging in, people that are watching all over the world, I got a good friend that's in Dubai that's watching right this second.
Oh, that's
hey,
cool.
Hey, Tony, call you blessed, man.
Hey.
And then in the midst of all of that, I got to tell you, guys, we rescued another little girl this week. This is our eighth rescued child in the past two weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is Lulu. Hello. Aww. Lulu
is beautiful.
That's
God, you bless.
So awesome. She's, I love her smile. I know
she's 13 years old. She's so happy to be set free. She is a sassy little thing. And you know what? Wow. She's like, wow, people really do love me. This is amazing. The situation that we pulled out of her is absolutely horrific. A man was sexually assaulting her, and she was discovered by the neighbors. The girl was taken in by the Colombian family welfare system. We were all integrated into that. And they're like, hey, we don't have any homes to put these kids in. Will you take them? And of course, we say yes.
Amen.
And so the man that was actually abusing her is a trafficker, and he's a mess. And now that brother's going to be thrown under the bus. And we say,
thank you.
Bye.
That's what we say to you.
Wow.
Yeah, you can go into a Colombian prison now and enjoy your stay. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've been in Colombian prisons and nearly got killed in one time.
Did.
And I came that close to getting killed one time in a Colombian prison.
No. What?
Oh, whatever.
You just threw that out there? Yeah. What?
Why did that happen?
Pastor. Me and Pastor Gina Zagara. Pastor Gina Zagara was with me, and Jamie Cashman was with me. And the guards put us in this room where there wasn't a ceiling.
No way.
And it was just because everybody was hanging out, you know, it was like because they won't allow them to go outside. It's just like this big courtroom. We went into that arena. There was 170 guys in there, and the guards slammed the door behind us and told them to kill us.
What?
You don't know that whole story?
No.
Yeah.
Oh my
it was
gosh.
The grace of God that they didn't. And the last missionaries that were in there, they actually murdered. And it's not good how they kill you. It's not good.
So how did you...
The power of God, God changed everything. Pastor Gene Izaguirre, who's got an apostolic anointing on him, he started yelling like a crazy man. Jamie Cashin, who, man, we got to have him on this show.
Yeah.
I love listening to him tell the story. It's really funny. But Jamie Cashin is a 9th-degree black belt. He's a 9-degree black belt, yeah. And there's only a couple of hundred of those on the planet Earth. He told me, get in the corner, man, get in the corner. And I was like, oh, no. And those guys were laughing at us through the bars.
Mm-mm.
And I was like, what a demon. And all of a sudden, Gene said, what in the heck is going on here? He goes, we are men of God, and we brought the presence of God with us. Y'all need to sit down and shut up. The power of God is in this place. And boom, everybody. It was like, they just like, whoa. And he goes, and he said, do you think I'm playing with you? The power of God is here. And he started prophesying to this guy.
Amen.
And he said, how do you know that? And he said, sit down, and I'll show you something, boy. I'll show you something. I'm going to show you guys Jesus. And they all sit down. And then we had this giant revival, and tons of people got saved, and they apologized to us. They busted out these metal objects that were sharp and showed us what they were going to kill us with.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. And then the guards apologized. The guards, I mean, were literally tearing up, please pray for me. I'm sorry.
No
you know,
way.
Like, look, you know, this is a crazy place. We do crazy. I mean, we were in it was crazy. So, yeah, the Spirit of the Lord saved my life, and I praise God for that. I don't mind going out, but I don't want to go out like that. Tell you that.
So, thank you. Wow.
Like, wow. Like, if I go out, I don't want it to be from lack of shooting back. That's what I tell
you. I was just going to say that you always, that's your...
It ain't going to be from lack of shooting back. And that was a terrible situation. But the Spirit of the Lord was with us. God Almighty saved us, and people got saved. We even went back the next year, and I took Pastor Jerry Sellers with me. I'm like, I got to go back in there. I got to.
No way.
And we went back into that same place. I took Pastor Jerry, and Pastor... We saw some miracles happen that blew Jerry's mind. He never imagined anything like that.
That's so cool.
It's a crazy prison because there's a, and if everybody wants to look this up, Darren Stott did a video on it, and he put a lot of AI animation
really?
In it. And he's really good at that. It's really funny. And I was at one of his conferences telling the whole testimony of what had happened. And man, he put together this crazy cool video.
Oh, we got to find that and share it.
I think I sent it to y'all, and I think it's actually on ODX, I think.
It probably is.
It should be on ODX.
That's cool.
.tv, because it's crazy cool. But nonetheless, guys, listen, the supernatural is real because Jesus is real. And he owns the supernatural world and the natural world, and heaven is invading earth.
Wow.
And so today's episode is going to be on crazy things that we've seen in the natural and also in the within a supernatural, and sometimes they blend right on.
Yeah.
I got a clip that I want to show you guys. This is a clip of me and Tony Merkel talking, and then I'm going to unpack this thing. And I'm like, oh man, I opened up a can of worms whenever I did this. And it's in the midst of a long conversation. My amazing team clipped it all together, and it's like, whoa. And I think that we have, how many views did we have of this thing?
I think across all platforms, it was close to 1 million.
Which is crazy.
Insane.
And
this clip alone.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this and untold numbers of comments, a lot of it back, dude, you're whack. And I want to just kind of talk to you about that after this. You want to show it?
Yeah, take a look.
Here we go. We were in Chiapas, Mexico, and on a mountain, we saw a giant. I'm not talking about a 9-footer or 10-footer. I'm talking about mid-20s. Not for a glimpse, not a second. For about 25 minutes, I stared at it. It did not rattle my faith one bit.
No.
Because I already know how to process all this. I said, Jerry, I want you to softly turn around. He said, why? And I said, because there is something, a giant on the top of that hill, and I've been looking at it for 20, 30 minutes. And Jerry turned around and went, oh my gosh! And man, when he did the thing, kind of stood up like this and just turned around and went, hey, Jerry, did we see a giant in Mexico?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there it is. Once you start to see this thing, you can't unsee it. Well, my goodness, not every day that you meet somebody says that they saw a giant. Now, mm-hmm. here's what I want to tell you what I did not anticipate. I didn't anticipate, number one, I didn't anticipate you guys making a clip out of that.
Listen, it's our job to pull the moments that are going to trend that people are going to talk about.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And they're talking about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're talking about it. Everybody's saying I'm a nut. Like, John's,
the shoe fits.
But I know. He's not nuts. I know. And by the way, Ben, you were with me on that day.
I was.
Did you?
Or did you?
Did you see it?
I did. We talked about it last time I was on the Pulse last week. Yeah.
Okay. So Ben, this is my son, Ben. Ben was with me. And I want to unpack this for y'all and I want to tell you what happened. First of all, I want to say this. It is naturally supernatural to see supernatural things when you're in ministry. The Bible says light maketh manifest. So the more your light increases, the more things manifest around you, good and bad. For people that have never said anything, I'm worried about their light.
Yeah.
It's hid under a bushel. And I want to throw that out there first. Mm-hmm. If you're like very hateful and critical towards those of us who go, dude, we saw this. We're not making this up. Why would I, how does that help anything? You know, how would I gain from that? What the heck is that all about? And you go, no, that's only in the Bible. I want to tell you, I'm worried about your walk because if you can see it in the Bible, but you don't see it in your life, there's a problem with that. I mean, if you believe in the power of the Holy Ghost in the Bible, you should believe in the power of the Holy Ghost in your everyday life. If you believe Nephilim are in the Bible, and they are, as I'm about to show you, and if you believe also, too, that demonic forms literally appear as different kinds of things, and sometimes, as I'm about to point out, they take on a true physicality. In fact, I believe that there's entire classes of angels that are physical beings. Like, well, you can't. They're only spoofs. No, they're not. They're not just poofs. There's also classes of angels. There's tons of different kinds of angels within the Bible, and I'm about to unpack that. And there has been a falling out, and in the falling out, there's holy. It's just like in Daniel chapter 4. There's like I saw a holy watcher coming down from heaven, and he laid an axe at a tree. And it was a supernatural portal from one place to another place. Well, if you guys, have y'all seen any of the videos of these ancient trees all over the world that are actually mountains, but whenever you look at them, they were once these gigantic trees beyond a mountain. Those are portals. Those are portals. And so it says, because the Bible even says he was instructed, leave the stump. And the stumps are still there all over the world. And it's like, okay. And they all have supernatural names, whether it's Giant's Causeway in Ireland, which I was just there, or whether it's Devil's Tower in Wyoming, which I was there just a few months ago, or any of these things, there's actually a biblical reference to these things having once existed. And the deal is we just don't have a grid for it. Mm-hmm. And the other deal is a lot of that revelation has been sealed up in the same exact scripture that I was referring to in the book of Daniel, Michelle. It says this when it's talking about, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, you saw this, you saw that, you saw that. And this is what it means. And when you get down to the toes that are iron and clay mixed, this is what he says, their seed shall mix with the seed of man. And then he says, seal up the revelation until the end time. And that's what he says. Oh, and so we've ignored this thing for thousands of years, but even the Bible said that we would ignore it for thousands of years until right before Jesus comes back. So now the lid is being taken off, girls. The seals are being opened. The scrolls are being released. And now, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. And what was going on in the days of Noah? Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, it says, and in those days, talking about the days of Noah, and afterward, there were giants.
Wow.
All right. Now that I've said that, you guys want to hear the story? I know.
I want to hear the story. And I will say one of our most asked questions or said comments is people assuming you guys are under some type of influence while you have this.
That is hilarious.
I've
been going through all the comments.
Because, you know, people are just landing on this from, you know, wherever.
You must have been high.
Yeah. And so can we just set the record straight?
Yeah.
You weren't.
We were sober.
You were just sitting there watching. Or you weren't you praying? You were praying, right?
We were guys, in Chiapas, Mexico, we rescue kids, and we have a redemption ranch. And this place there's all kinds of craziness that goes on there. And so, like, what kind of craziness? Well, any place in the world where you see that there is next level cartel activity, there's also next level magic. And a big part of the cartel activity is Nephilim sex magic. And it also requires the blood of children.
Wow.
Whoa.
Now, if you don't get anything else, just look all that up and just see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And on that note, I just have a question to interject here because I didn't ever realize the connection between those two. But haven't you said, and I think I've heard you say, that you've rescued kids from all over the world and a lot of them have a similar story when it comes to this.
They had the same exact ritualism.
Like ritualistic sex stuff.
The ritualistic sex magic that is practiced upon these kids is the same in Uganda as it is in Mexico.
That's crazy.
As it is in Central America, as it is in South America, as it is in Nepal.
Wow.
It's the same things over and over and over again. And we've seen it.
Jesus. Yeah.
So we've rescued more than 11,000 kids. And I tried really hard to just kind of blow it off and just not, but I couldn't. There comes a time when you just can't ignore it and you can't deny it and you just can't ignore it. Mm-hmm. And then there also comes a time where you get confronted with it. And when you get confronted with it, man, you had better have your act together. And so so what happened was we go down to Chiapas, Mexico. We go down there all the time. We have a big ranch down there where we rescue kids and we bring them in. And let me tell you about Chiapas, Mexico. It is a crazy place. There is the largest Mayan pyramid on the planet Earth you can literally see from Redemption Ranch. And there's a picture of it I took with my phone.
No way. That's from Redemption Ranch.
Yeah, that is from my phone.
Cool. Wow.
I literally took that with my phone. And it is so cool. Is so crazy. I want to show you guys. I think that you guys sent them another picture from their website or whatever. Is there another picture of that? That picture you were showing me? Oh, this is cool. You guys brought. Okay. Anyway. Well, the bottom line is if you guys go and if you look, if you look, you can just look it up. And what's it called? It's called the Palenque.
Palenque.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's Palenque. And I've been, Ben and I and our team has actually been to that. It's privately owned and it is the only privately owned pyramid. And that's a whole nother story. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
But I can tell you that there have been thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of children and young women and young men that have been sacrificed at that Mayan pyramid. And now we are rescuing children that would otherwise be sacrificed in the very shadow of that place.
That's cool.
Okay. So that we're like, cool. Redemption is here. Okay. Yeah. So we go down there and, we oversaw the rescue of some kids and a whole bunch of crazy cool stuff happened. But one of the things that we kept hearing was that there's giants down here.
Wow.
And like giants and like, okay, which, you know, what do you say to that? You know, it's like, okay, cool. And like, yeah, do you guys know about the giants? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, even at your hotel, there is a rock that has a giant footprint in it that's at the hotel where you're staying at. And they're like, that's a common thing of finding around here.
That's
now,
crazy.
Here's what I can tell you. And I believe we have a picture of that.
Mm-hmm. The giant footprint?
Hey.
The giant footprint?
Yes.
Yeah. Come on. You guys got it? Mm-hmm. Thank you. So there's that was at the hotel where we were at. And I can tell y'all that I am from Glen Rose, Texas. Mm-hmm. And among the dinosaur tracks that are there are also giant human prints that are there. The state denies it. And when I was a kid, hey, thank you, buddy. The state denies it. And when I was a kid, I think that it became a state park in 73 or 74. And when I was a little boy, we used to go out there. And the hillbillies in Glen Rose, before the state took it over, they had all these signs up. And they said, hey, you can see the dinosaur tracks here. And they belong to an Anthracanthosaurus. They also belong to a Brontosaurus. And they go through the Paluxy River. The Paluxy River is right beside my ranch. And I live in Glen Rose. And then they had these hillbilly signs that said caveman tracks. And so it was just human tracks everywhere.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, whenever the state came in and they took it over, because that interfered with the state agenda to teach children evolution, they went in and cut them out. And there's just holes where those tracks used to be.
What?
Yeah. Ask anybody. Go to the, I want to encourage you guys, go to the, there is a Christian, there is a creationist museum in Glen Rose, Texas, and they even have rocks that they have found in the Paloxi that have giant human footprints in it.
And that's not the only time they've done it. They've also done it recently, too. Because if you remember, there was actually a landslide that happened in that same state park.
And there was human prints all over the place.
A few years ago.
And the state come in and took them all out.
Whoa.
They said there was a natural gas disaster, and everybody had to evacuate. Yeah.
They told everybody, hey, there's gas leaking. Crazy. Everybody's got to get out. And listen, we live in Glen Rose. We know that this is the truth. This is what's real. Mm-hmm. So it's like, but all this interferes with how I understand the world works. I want to tell you, our history of this planet Earth is so different than what has been taught us.
Yeah.
And also what is going on every single day around us is way different from the common narrative. Now, it's starting to come out. It's starting all to come out in these last days.
Yep.
And so here's what happened. We go down there and we're there and we're aware of people are saying, that there are people that turn into animals here and there's animals that turn into people and all this kinds of craziness. And like it's next level magic and they do these things to kids and they murder kids and all these kinds of things. And these cartel guys come from all over South America to come there to that region and they do this next level magic. Well, the body of Jesus is also there. And the body of Jesus is killing it. I mean, they're doing such a great job and they are such Holy Ghost people. I mean, there are people in that church that I'm friends with that have had their houses burned down. They have had family members murdered. They have had next level witchcraft thrown at them. They've had to fight diseases and all that. And they are just Jesus freaks. Well, they have this property that is on top of this mountain. And for the Yahoos that have been sending me hate going, you idiot, there's no mountains in Mexico.
There is.
Quit playing video games. And start finding out what's actually going on in the world because the mountains that are in Mexico are over 4,000 feet taller than the mountains that are in the United States of America. They're 18,000 feet there. And I've been in those mountains all my life. And it's like, no, I promise y'all, there actually are mountains. There are. And so we go there and they have this property. It's on this mountain and it is where they go to fast and pray. And they have planted an orchard there and it's just beautiful. And man, we're up there. Ben was there. I don't know how many guys, would you say like at least 20 people was with us?
If not more. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. 20 to 30.
So me too. I would say that. And so these are all people that we don't know. Mm-hmm. And we know a couple of the pastors because we work with them. But man, they all show up. And I mean, them being them, you know, they show up in a shirt and a tie. And man, they show up and man, they want to have church. And man, we're up there, man, and we're having church. And they are all just praying for us. I'm sitting in a chair and I don't speak Spanish. And so when they pray, it's like, you know, it's going to be several hours. It's not going to be a nice polite.
No, it's a pretty hard prayer.
So it's not going to be like that. It's going to be a, man, we're going after God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of sit down and you let all these men and women of God pray and you get in the presence of the Lord. So I'm sitting there. They asked Ben to actually give a word and Ben gave a word on the top of that mountain.
Really?
And he just preached about the mission we have and about how this is Jesus and what God is doing and how God likes to transform things. And I'm sitting there, I'm just listening to him. Well, one of the things I'm looking at while this is happening is the top of the next mountain. We're on the top of the one mountain, and then there's another mountain, and there's a valley between us. So the top of this mountain would have been a couple of miles away, but it's clear because it's bald up at the top, except for there's this one tree, this one giant tree. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm just looking at it, and I'm somebody that likes to draw, and so when I look at things, I tend to think, man, if I was going to draw that, how would I draw that? And I'm thinking stuff like that while all of these guys are praying. I'm just in, you know, a supernatural atmosphere. The Spirit of God is there. Amen. I'm lightly praying and letting everybody do whatever that it is that they do. And afterwards, they're going to ask me to speak, and they're going to ask me to lay hands on everybody and pray. And so I'm just sitting there, and I look up, you know, I see this tree, and I'm looking at it and go, man, I wonder what kind of tree that is. It's some kind of a pine tree. It's super tall. It's, you know, 20-something feet tall. And I'm just looking at it. There's these big, giant, awesome boulders around it, and then the face of the cliff is beautiful. And I'm looking at it, and there's a mountain also to my left, and I'm looking. And then they pray and pray and pray. And I look up there, and I look again, and there's two trees standing up there. Not one, but this time there's two. And I thought, man, I know for a fact that there were two trees. I know for a fact that there was one tree up there a while ago. And I'm like, how did I miss that other tree? And I'm just thinking, that's odd. Like, man, what's wrong with me, man? I'm having a Joe Biden moment or something. What is that? You know, like, what is that? You know, I'm like, how could I? Like, I was even thinking about if I was to draw that, how would I draw it? And
yeah,
I was thinking about all of this. Guys, where we're at, there is no cell. There's no cell. And I am somebody that you know, my phone rings constantly. My texts are constantly. And you can't get texts. You can't get phone calls there. You can't do any of that. There's no reason to have a phone on you unless, you know, you're going to film people. And I wasn't planning on filming anybody. So my phone was in the truck, and I'm there to pray on a prayer mountain while people are fasting. And so I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this tree, and here's the weird thing. So in the midst of all the hate mail that we've got, they're like, wow, how could you look at something for 20 or 30 minutes and not take a picture of it or any of that? There was no agenda to take pictures of it. There was no, I'm seeing something in the spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, people that don't understand that do not understand it. And so I'm sitting there and I get to looking at that tree. And I'm like, I know there was only one tree there a while ago. I know there was. And then as I looked, that tree took on a human form, and it was just as big as the tree next to it. And its arms came out like this, and it moved several feet over, and it stopped and it planted, and then it looked like a tree again. And I thought, I thought, what is that all about?
Yeah.
And I thought, man, did I actually see that? You know, so now I'm staring at it. And then, same thing, it takes on like it looks like a giant dude, and it kind of moves a little bit, and it kind of leans his head forward like this. And then in just a moment, I can't tell if it's a tree or if it's a person or whatever. It just looks like a tree again. And then when the tree would move a little bit, it would move a little bit. And I'm like, that is something that is transforming, and that is something that is phasing. It would like turn blurry for a second, and then it would do this. So I'm just sitting there quiet watching this thing, trying to ponder it. Like, what is that? And what could that possibly be? And it made me think about all the people that have seen things all over the world, and they try to take pictures of them, and they're always blurry, and they're always this, and okay, how does this thing hide? If that thing's real, how does it hide? And all this kind of stuff. And I literally watched this thing change back and forth from a human form to a tree form.
Wow.
And finally, I started talking to it because I was already praying, and I discerned, and I could just tell, this thing's watching our prayer.
That's what I was going to ask. What's the purpose
in
that
moment? It showed up to it because we were on that prayer mountain.
To intimidate you think? Or,
No, I don't think that it knew I could see it until I told it I could see it. And I'm talking at this level of voice, and I said, I see you. And as soon as I did, he changed. And he started bowing up like, yeah. And I was like, whoa. And I was like, devil, you cannot have the kids in this place. You cannot do this. I'm going to tell you how this is going to go down. And I was talking in this level of voice. Well, anytime you see anything in the supernatural, whether it has physicality or it doesn't have physicality, man, you got to know who you are in Jesus. Amen. And you got to tell them how the cow ate the cabbage. If it was so big and so brave, it wouldn't be masquerading as a tree.
Correct.
But it is big. And it is mean, and it would masquerade as a tree, and it would look just like a tree. But then it wouldn't look like a tree at all. It would look
like a dude.
Yeah.
It would look like a dude. It would look like a big, giant, monstrous man. And so that's why I was sitting there staring at it, because I couldn't wrap my head around it, and I didn't know. So I called Ben over, and I said, Ben, and he said, yeah. I said, turn around and tell me what you see up there at the top of that ridge up there. And so you tell me what happened.
Well, this is right after I got done preaching. And so Jerry was up to preach.
And we're full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, just the presence of the Lord, man, it's crazy.
And God was moving in a serious way. And so I turn around and I see two trees. And it's like, I see two trees. And Dad goes, just give it a second. So I'm sitting there staring.
Give it a second.
I was like, okay. It's like I'm looking around the mountain trying to figure out what he's talking about. And as I'm like scanning down to look at the cliff, I look back up and there's a dude standing there. I was like, what?
I'm like, I know. And I told him, I said, I know. Like, and I said, man, what do you think that is? And Ben said, I think it's a freaking giant.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, we were just like, and again, everybody's still mm-hmm. praying on the top of this mountain. Everybody's doing their thing. And me and Ben are like, and I told Ben, I said, watch this. I said, we see you and there's nothing you can do about this. In the name of Jesus,
we're
putting a flag in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the
mm-hmm.
Spirit of the Lord is here. And whatever dominion spirit you are, whatever power spirit you are, mm-hmm. whatever that is, I'm telling you, there's a new sheriff in town. His name is Jesus.
Yeah.
And we're asking the Lord to release his angels for the performance of his word. And mm-hmm. I'm just talking like this. Yeah. And that thing is, you know, more than a mile away. And it literally put its arms out like this, and it started rocking back and forth like this.
Yeah,
it
squared up for a fight.
This intimidating, you know, you want to fight?
That's crazy.
And I was like, no. So then me and Ben's like, wow. And we're sitting, again, people are praying, they're prophesying, they're doing all this stuff. We're outside, we're on top of this mountain. And I said, Jerry, so you were there for that.
Oh, Lord, Jerry.
If Jerry sees it, then it's...
Yeah.
You know, because he was raised Baptist, right?
Oh yeah.
So he didn't come from like this background at all, right? This.
But dude, honestly, I didn't have a grid for it.
I mean, never I don't know who does have like a grid for that. Before, actually,
you know.
But no, Jerry turns around, he's looking, at him, and Dad goes, "Hey, look at that mountain. Tell us what you see." And he's sitting there, he's squinting, and he goes, "Holy crap, that's a giant!"
Oh my gosh,
he yelled it.
So,
and then when he did that, when he yelled. Look, it's a giant. Look, what is that? That's crazy. And I was just, and I warned him before he turned around. I told the brother, I said, brother, be calm, be cool. Turn around and tell me, just be cool and tell me what you see on the top of that ridge over there. And he just screamed, that's a giant. What is that? What the heck is that? And dude, it turned around and started walking off. And it only took like two strides for it to go back over the hill. But you couldn't tell when it turned back over the hill if it was a man or if it was a tree, but it left.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was only one tree up there.
So cool.
Okay. So that's my giant story. Oh, and then I asked the pastors, mm-hmm. I said, you guys ever seen a giant around here before? They were like, what? And then they translated it in Spanish. And then they all started going, yeah, there's one that lives up there on that mountain right over there.
Wow.
They pointed directly at that thing. And they said, yeah, there's actually, we've seen one up there on top of that. I'm like, yeah, okay. And they're like, did you see something? Did you see him? I said, I saw him, man, but I told him what's happening here. And I said, he came over to spy on us on how we were praying and what our strategies are and what all this kind of stuff is. And so there you go. That's my giant story.
So, you know, my question, you were mentioning a bit about dominion and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What is our, and I know you talk about classes of angels and stuff like that. When we see things in the supernatural, do we have dominion over that to say, like, I rebuke you when it has to go? Like in the class system of the supernatural, where does that fall? Like,
well, I want to tell you that there is a big time legality that is concerning this. When it comes to power spirits, when it comes to dominions, when it comes to those things in high places, we do have dominion over those things. But there's also mm-hmm. legal rights that they can claim, and you don't want to mess with them unless you have authority in that place.
Right.
So the authority that we carry just as Christians is we carry, we're washed by the blood of King Jesus. Mm-hmm. We are children of God, which, by the way, sons of God is a whole class of angels. That's mm-hmm. a whole different class of angels that also has physicality to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just spirits. They're not just poofs. They have physicality, and we can actually talk about that. But... we are as sons of God, even you girls, that's not a gender bias statement. Mm-hmm. It literally means full inheritance of all that Jesus gives us. We have the blood of Jesus, which is crazy cool, but we also carry with us the power of the Holy Spirit. We carry mm-hmm. resurrection power within us, and Christ in us is the hope of glory. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So we have that. Now that I've said this, when you go into There are literally, just like the Prince of Persia, just like the Prince of Greece that Daniel talks about, whenever Paul was talking about, you know, principalities and all those kinds of things and all these devils in high places, when he's talking about all that, there are regional authority, what you and I would call demons. But they're not demons, being the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim that were created, and apparently it's painful that were created between the sons of God and the daughters of men in Genesis chapter 6. These guys are different, and they literally have regional authority, even though they are fallen. And that is very interesting to me. And I'm like, okay, wait, and this is why the kingdom has to come. So if you get on their turf, and if you don't have authority, and you get on their turf, and you don't have an assignment, you can go pick in a fight with something that's liable to hand you your hat. If they come to you and they attack you, it's one thing, but you get on their turf, you had better have the indigenous remnant and the power of the Holy Spirit within you involved in that, because it's regional.
Yeah.
There's regional territories.
Wow. Okay. I have so many questions.
Okay, let's go.
Were the Philistines, were they giants in the Bible?
Well, they partnered with giants, and they had giant DNA within them. And so anytime in the Bible that you see where God says, I want you to wipe them out. I want you to wipe out the men. I want you to wipe out the children. I want you to wipe out the women and the animals. That's called Hiram. Okay? The Hebrew word for that is, I want them all wiped out. Like, okay, where is our merciful God here? It's because their DNA has been contaminated.
Yes.
Yep.
And they literally partner with the devil through sexual rituals, and also too through Nephilim bloodlines to hide that DNA from bloodline to bloodline to bloodline.
Okay.
So that it's all about the Antichrist as well as ultimate. But it's also about wiping out the seed of the Messiah.
Okay.
Which is why that's everybody crazy. Hates the Jews. Do you know why everybody hates you? Because you're a Jew? Can I tell you why?
Tell me.
Okay. Please. Okay. Well, it can't be because of your race, because every Jew is a different race. It can't be because of your politics, because some Jews are left wing of, Gandhi, and other Jews Jews are right wing of Attila the Hun.
Yeah.
It can't be because the color of your skin, the region you're from, because Jews come from everywhere. Do you know what it is? It's your blood.
The blood. Mm.
They hate your blood. The devil hates your blood. And that's why the Bible starts off in Matthew. These are the generations of Jesus Christ. Amen. It shows that Jesus was genetically perfect and that God kept his promise, and it was never contaminated, ever. Well, all the way from Adam all the way to Jesus.
My mind is blown right now. So one of our viewers, Kimberly Toomey, asked if we have seen the banner that Hamas flies, because it has a six-fingered fist on it. Mm-hmm. Taylor has the picture, if you can put that up. Yep. And so I just Googled, I don't know what a six-fingered fist means. And it says, we're the flood.
Yeah, we're the flood.
Next day, and so Nephilim, right?
That is the days of Noah.
Yeah.
That is the days of Noah. And as a matter of fact, when the Bible says, and in the days of Noah, and it says, and violence was upon the whole earth, the word violence is Hamas.
Yeah.
Wow. That's the word violence in Hebrew. So when you
see this,
buddy, can we please put that back up there again? And just leave it up there for a minute. When you see these Hamas knuckleheads, they are from the Gaza Strip, which is where the giants are from.
Yeah.
That's not where they originated, but that's where they proliferated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they actually come from Mount Hermon in Bashan, which is where the gates of hell are, where Caesarea Philippi is. But they proliferated on the Gaza Strip.
Yeah.
The word Palestinian is the word Philistine.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Okay, so it is literally whenever Hadrian was the Roman emperor, he's like, I don't want the word Israel to be on a map anywhere. I'd like to see that they never existed. He said, who are the most hated enemies of the Israelites? And they said, the Philistines. So he said, okay, we'll call this Philistia, or in Greek, Palestine. Mm-hmm. So when these Hamas, the supernatural violence, are on the Gaza Strip, the land of Nephilim, and interbreeding, and they are Palestinians, when they have a six-fingered fist and they say, we're the flood, that is by the regional deity's design.
That's crazy.
That is by his design. That is by what we in the Western world would just simply call a demon, but it's actually a lot more than a demon. Mm-hmm. It's a created being that rebelled against God Almighty that still owns the region. And I want to tell you, they are next level involved in these clowns, even in their bloodlines.
Yeah.
They're next level.
And even the Bible talks about the different territories and the different higher powers that are there. So like whenever Daniel is fasting and praying and it took forever for the Archangel Michael to get there, he's like, I'm sorry I was held up, but it was because I was fighting against the Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then after that, he says, and the Prince of Greece, he said, the Prince of Greece is coming. And that's a whole nother mamba jamba. Wow. And so these little g gods that God Almighty created, when there's actually a hierarchy structure, and we're doing some shows next week on that.
Oh, yeah.
And there's actually a hierarchy structure, but you can see it in the other religions as well, among the Romans and among the Greeks. Yep. So you have the Titans.
Yep.
All right. And after the Titans, you have the gods. After the gods, you have the demigods. Mm-hmm. After the gods, you have what?
You have the chimeras, and you have...
Yeah. So that's why God Almighty said, hey, when you go to fight the Philistines, Samson, I have supernaturally, I have anointed you with the same power of the giants.
Yeah. Wow.
And you're the man, let's go. But the problem is, he was okay with sleeping with them too.
Mm. Yeah.
And a lot of times the very assignment that we have is we're supposed to wipe these things out and we think we can get in bed with them and we think we can get away with it. And we can't.
That's a good word.
Yeah. And Brother Samson, bless him. I love Samson, but you know, Israel went through 400 years of additional slavery to the Philistines up until the time of King David because the brother couldn't stay out of bed with the enemy. Wow. 400 years of collateral damage that those good people had to deal with. And then when David rose up, he said, I'll kill every one of them. Mm. You know what you don't find after King David? You do not find bears in Israel. You do not find lions in Israel because David killed all of them, and you do not find giants.
Wow.
He took them all out.
Wow.
And that brother was on a mission. And
David's a good example of that, too, because he talks to Saul, and he's like, why are you making me go fight for other gods when I should be fighting for our gods?
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. He's like, you ran me out of our holy territory that Yahweh rules and reigns in. Mm. All I can do is something for some other god in these foreign lands. Wow. David says that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these guys believed in sacred space. Mm-hmm. They totally believed in, okay, there are spaces where certain things spiritually can happen that are different.
Yep.
Do you know that this is interesting? The guy that, I think his name was Naaman, and he came to Elisha and said, hey, I got leprosy. And he said, just go dunk yourself 7 times in Jordan River and you'll be healed. And he got all mad. He went and did it. And then he came back and said, I got this money. I got these clothes. I want to pay for it. And he said, I don't want any of that. And he said, okay, well, then at least let me take up a whole bunch of boxes of this dirt so that when I go back and I serve my master who worships other gods, I can put that dirt underneath the rug.
Wow. Mm.
Like what? And we just dismiss these verses. Whoa. But he literally is like, I can only serve that other God in Babylon. I want to be able to serve your God. And so I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm just going to put the dirt underneath this rug. That's how much they believed in different spaces. Mm-hmm. There are different gods that are made manifest. Now, look, we know that we serve Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we know that through Jesus, Christ in us is the hope of glory, and God Almighty can be made manifest anywhere. Mm-hmm. Our job is to bring the kingdom wherever we go. Mm-hmm. And we know that our God is God above all the other gods. Mm-hmm. We know all that. Now that I have said that, that doesn't take away the legal rules of how these things manifest and how they work. They know the rules, and they go by the rules, and they get clowns like the Philistines or the Palestinians and Hamas, and the fact that their might is that of a giant, they are a Nephilim blood host, and they will be a curse wherever they're at, especially to Israel.
And someone else, Debbie Rhodes, had asked this in relation to all this that we're talking about. Does this go back to Ishmael and his hatred for Isaac and his lineage?
Yeah, it does. Mm. It does, and if we could, you know, you go back to Ishmael, all right, right on, and then you go into Jacob and Esau, and I want to tell you there is this way that if you partner with these demons, and again, it has to do with all kinds of ritualistic things, including sexual perversion and magic that go with that, and then also including, what happens is you are empowered.
Yeah.
You are empowered. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says Nimrod, or otherwise known as Gilgamesh, if you're a Mason, you know all about, you know, that's what the G is for the Masons and all my Masonic friends is it goes all the way back to Nimrod. They were followers of Nimrod. Mm-hmm. What did he do? He built mighty cities, right? He was a builder of cities. And then also he was a mighty hunter. What it says, how that should translate is, it should translate he was a hunter of men. And it says, in the face of the Lord or before the Lord. Before the Lord literally means in spite of God. He's like, you stop me. That's what that means. And it says he became a mighty man. So he transed into something different.
Wow.
And he
wow.
took on supernatural power. Now, here's what I want to tell you. I want to tell you this. Esau did the same thing.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Esau also transed. Mm. And he transed into a mighty hunter of men. And he also transed into... Well, he's the father of all the Edomites, and his line doesn't so much manifest as giants, even though I'm sure that there are giants among them. But it's a bloodline of kings that manifest. So Herod, when Jesus arose, the one, the killer of all the babies, Herod, he was an Edomite. He was of that Nephilim host bloodline of kings.
Oh wow.
And Herod wasn't, the Bible says that. He's not even a Jew, he's an Edomite. He's a son of Esau, and he is Nephilim. He is Nephilim.
And something else to think about too with Esau is he was so hairy that his brother had to go get a literal sheep.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever felt
that. Yeah, that's the one part that I remember.
Yeah.
But I mean, he literally transformed. It wasn't like he just, he kind of became bigger. No, I mean, he physically transformed.
So Jacob had good reason to fear him. And to be horrified of him. Jacob had good reason because, and then like in extra biblical books, like in the book of Enoch or in the book of, I don't know if it's Jubilees or what, it tells a story about that. And that story says that Esau had just got back from killing Nimrod.
Yep.
Whenever he came in, he said, what is my birthright? What is all that? That he literally went and killed. That's what an extra biblical book says. And so he had good reason to. How you fool a blind man into saying, no, it's me, is you take on the hair of a beast and you touch them and you go, whoa, okay, yeah, that's definitely Esau. He transed. So just like Nebuchadnezzar transed, and again, that bloodline, Nephilim, king line of blood that is contaminated, Nebuchadnezzar was all about that. He had that. He transed into a beast of the field, and the Bible describes that. And this transition that people make as they become something else through the power of demons and through this, this six-fingered giant and all this mess, that all they do. When you do this, it's trans, it is transgender, it is trans, I don't know. It's all the trans.
Yeah.
And it's all about transgression.
And so obviously you say trans in this day and age, we assign a whole different meaning, but I feel like it seems like it all kind of plays into this.
Yeah. You can be trans bio. So you can actually be human being that has mechanical parts, and we're all moving towards that. Everybody knows that we are. The whole thing with Elon Musk and all that kind of stuff, Neuralink, all that kind of stuff. Well, and we're moving towards that, but that's what these cats have been tapped into throughout the centuries. So before we go behind the veil, before we do that, let me talk to you about this and say this. I saw what I saw in Mexico. Mm-hmm. I saw it. And I saw it in the problem that people have. If I would have said, well, I had a vision and I would have saw it, most of the body of Jesus would not have had a problem with it. Right. If I would have said, I saw this in the spirit, most of the body of Jesus would not have had a problem with it. But when I say I saw it physically, people have a problem with that. And I would like to encourage people to make that leap because even if you don't believe me on what I've seen, I mean,
that's another.
That one's out there, the one I just said, but I've seen so much. I've seen so much and I've been a part of so many things. And it's like, okay, A spiritual being can take on a physical form, and some spiritual beings always have a physical form, but they phase in and out. I'm like, okay, give me one example. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, and he is completely physical. He tells everybody, handle me and see, mine, I'm flesh and bone, just like you. He eats, and then he goes through walls. So he goes, he can phase, back and forth to have total command of the spiritual world and total command of the natural world. These things literally can phase back and forth in, from spiritual places and natural places, and they can also take on different forms depending upon what the rules are of how they can manifest.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I saw it. I saw the local power spirit. And that's what the indigenous Indians here call that, is the power spirit.
Power spirit.
You know, and it's always the top of the totem pole. So the totem pole, it gives you the hierarchy of all the demons within that area.
Oh, really?
And the top one is the power spirit.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why they worship it at totem poles. Mm. And so, yeah, this is how that works. And so
crazy.
You can either say, well, it just doesn't. You're going to find out. It's going to slap you in the face if you don't get a biblical worldview for this stuff. Yeah. And here's what I can tell you. Like, if we were talking about aliens, I could tell you, I cannot find one single person. Alan DiDio cannot find one single person. Joseph Z cannot find one single person that has ever claimed alien abduction that was a spirit-filled born-again believer. Mm-hmm. You have an authority to say how you will cooperate and how you will not cooperate with them when they're on your turf. And you go, no, in Jesus' name. No matter what kind of physical form they take on. And that doesn't need to confuse us that, well, it's got to be something else if there's physical, because we think everything in the demonic realm is a poof. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. Hey, whenever the Bible says that there's some classes of angels that need chariots, why?
Because they're warring angels.
They're warring angels, and they operate in some realms where they are completely physical. So, okay, so, and again, and I'll close on this, and I'll quit talking. I just got really excited about it.
Yeah, no, it's so interesting, dude, too, so we don't want to stop you.
So the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6, that class of angels, which, by the way, we are replacing them, because as many as who are led by the Spirit of God, he gives us power to be called the sons of God. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, that class of angels, the ones that saw the daughters of men and the very first case of human trafficking happened between celestial beings and earthly beings.
Wow.
Okay, this thing has always got human trafficking involved in it. Wow. Always. Always. And so when you see them, here's what's real, is they have such incredible physicality about them that not only can they have physical, sexual relationship with human beings, but they can also reproduce, which means that their DNA is closely associated with our DNA. Because you can't reproduce a dog and a cat.
No.
You can't. The DNA doesn't match. Their physicality literally matches our DNA. And it's like, whoa. Now, what it produces is hybrids.
No.
It produces demigods. And then let me tell you what those Nephilim hybrids do, is they reproduce with everything. Okay. So the Bible says that before Noah, it says the plant life was corrupted. It says the fish of the sea were corrupted. Like, whoa, wait, are you telling me that you think that these things had sexual relationships, or they mixed their DNA somehow with the fish of the sea? Yes. Mm-hmm. That's like where all the sea gods come from.
Like mermaids, that's where all the
sea gods come from. That's where they come from. That's where, and then with beasts and wild animals, they corrupted everything so much so that God Almighty had to bring the animals to the ark. Noah couldn't go out and go get them because he couldn't tell which ones were DNA contaminated and which ones weren't.
That's crazy.
And Noah was perfect in all of his generations. He was genetically perfect.
Wow.
So that's how big of a deal this seed war that begins in Genesis chapter 3 is. The very first promise of the Messiah is Genesis chapter 3. And there will be hostility between your seed, the devil, and her seed.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he's going to bruise your head, and you're going to bruise his heel. That is the beginning of the seed war. And the ultimate seed war is the Antichrist and Jesus is what it all comes down to. So now I say this, which side are you going to be on? Whose seed are you of? You know, are you somebody who has the seed of the Word of God within your life and you're madly in love with King Jesus? Or are you scrolling through a bunch of stuff and being involved in a bunch of stuff that's going to get you? I would encourage you. You're like, if you're somebody who says, well, I would never accept the mark of the beast. You know what I believe the mark of the beast is? I believe that the mark of the beast changes your DNA to where you are unredeemable. And that is their ultimate goal, is to make us all unredeemable. Because Jesus Christ died for the bloodline of Adam. He didn't die for the bloodline of anybody else. And there are different bloodlines, even on the earth today, that is not the blood of Adam. So I can tell you that I believe that today there's all kinds of stuff being made manifest, and it's going to get more and more and more and more and more. And here's what I'm going to say. Welcome to what the Word of God says. Boom.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That was so good. So good. I mean, there's so much. I feel like we could talk forever about this. Mm-hmm. Just because when you start talking about the supernatural and experiences, and you know, I'm someone who I don't feel like I've had, like, I haven't seen a giant. I haven't had like kind of crazy things, but in the context of what we've been talking about, I like, you know, remember things from my childhood or whatever. And I'm like, wow, I guess I didn't have the right language to articulate what it was. Sure. And I'm like, no, I see it now, you know, things that I just thought were nightmares or little things as a kid, you know? And I'm like, wait a second, that actually was something.
When we're looking at scary things today, I can see three different categories, okay? Mm-hmm. I can see just what you and I would call the demonic realm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I can see the second area would be what you and I would call the demonic realm that has physicality or is operating in the physical right. world. The third one is human beings that cooperate with them and yes. build things and produce things.
That makes it easier to kind of digest. Those are
three different, and that is all the way through the Word of God.
Yep.
All the way through the Word of God. Mm-hmm. All the way through the Word of God.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we're so arrogant in the Western world. We'll say, yeah, well, that doesn't happen here because this is America and we don't do that. You know, we've got our act together. Whatever.
Yeah. It's wild. And I think it's easiest for people to wrap their head around the first class of just, you know, like because it lives somewhere in the spiritual, it doesn't actually take form. But then when it actually takes form and you're confronted with it, it's like, oh my. This is real. So,
well, Melee says this is one of her favorite episodes. So I'm so happy about that. And I'm so glad also, too, that the old turquoise peacock got on here and said, usually I don't take the time to listen to these, but this is so good. Thank you.
That's awesome. Man, thanks, we bless turquoise you guys. Peacock.
And for all of you cats, you know what, man? We're going to answer some questions behind the veil. And we're going to go behind the veil for just a few minutes. And
yeah,
I know that we have a special class of people that hang out with us. And not only do they hang out with us, but they help us save boys and girls out of sexual trafficking.
Yeah. Yeah.
They support us on a monthly basis. We've rescued eight kids the past two weeks. And that's me saying yes to at least $1,200 a month for every single child that we take in. And it takes a lot to feed them. It takes a lot to clothe them, a lot to house them. And also, too, to be in compliance with the nations in taking in trafficked kids. And they all have special needs because of the trauma that they've endured. That's okay. Well, listen, we have over 4,000 of them right now. Mm-hmm. I'm believing that through your partnership, we're going to have over 40,000 kids someday. Amen. And we're just going to keep on doing this. So if you're interested in helping me with that, simply go to odx.tv and partner with me today. So how do we close this and go over to Behind the Veil with our ODX peeps?
Yeah, well, I just want to give one more shout out to all of our friends joining us on Rumble. We are so excited to have you. And if you're like, what is ODX? I just came on here because you guys were talking about crazy things and giants and all that. Our ODX is our platform. It is kind of our safe space. It's a monthly membership, and there's different levels. There's stage 2 and stage 3. And when you become a monthly member, not only do you have access to all of our content and to these extended versions of our podcast here, you have access, if you're a stage 3 partner, to all of the conferences we do and so much more exclusive stuff. But the most important thing is that money, the money that we raise through ODX and through your partnerships there, some of that goes towards helping to rescue more kids. And that's why we do all of this. We're not just on here to talk about stuff because we like talking about stuff. I mean, this is all fun and we love having these conversations, but we do this so that we can rescue kids. That is the ultimate heart of what we do. And the heart of Pastor Troy and Lana's ministry for over 30 years, they've rescued and raised over 11,000 kids. That is a for real number. That's insane. And we're just so, so blessed to partner with them and to be a part of this. So welcome if you're a first time viewer, and we are going to go behind the veil on ODX now. But listen, if you want to get involved and join this fight with us, you can go to troybrewer.com and click on give. You can also call this 24-hour hotline that we have, 877-413-0888. Literally 24 hours a day, that is a hotline that is that exist right here in our own building. These are our people. They're ready to receive your gifts there, your donations. They can tell you more about what we do. They can also pray for you. Hey, maybe you've been listening to this stuff and you're like, I've been tormented by a demon, by a spirit that is bothering me and I want it gone. They can pray with you. They are specially trained to stand with you and pray and whatever you need. Maybe you need some encouragement. So give that number a call. Don't hesitate to call. We love you so much. Thank you for joining us. And with that, we are going to head behind the veil. So we will see you right back here next Tuesday and Wednesday at the same time if you are on Facebook or YouTube or all those things.
Pastor Gary McGibbons in Ireland.
Hey.
I see you, dude. I see you. I sure do love you. Guys, Victory Church Belfast. Victory Aww. Belfast. And hey, I want to ask everybody, would y'all please pray for Victory Belfast? Amen. There's something, they're just needing the body of Jesus to stand with them in a really big way. This is an outreach church. I was just there. They are amazing people. Pastor Gary is awesome. I love that brother and his beautiful wife and his beautiful kids. They are good, good, good people. Please stop what you're doing and say a prayer for Victory Belfast and believe that the favor of the Lord would be upon them. And we rebuke the devil and we just declare that King Jesus is king over Ireland and God Almighty is good and that Pastor Gary will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living in the name of King Jesus. All right, guys, I'm going to go behind the veil for it. If you're watching on ODX and you're stage 2 or stage 3, just stay right there where you're at and I'll see you in about 15 seconds. Boom.